Welcome back to the Matty Lowe Show. It's your boy, Matt Lopez. And in today's podcast, I really want to just take a time and a moment here to reflect back on life. We all know there was a tragedy that happened a couple days ago on January 26th, 2020. And it is January 29th, a couple days after the tragic death of Kobe Bryant. And for most of you, you know this already. You've seen the news and media coverage going with what's going on. I've got a few minutes here on Wednesday night. I'm here in Houston visiting some family and had this trip planned out long in advance because I really missed my family and really wanted to get a chance to see them, spend some time with them. And that's what sparked the inspiration for today's episode, episode 3 of season 2, The Matty Lowe Show. And so I wanted to take the time to kind of reflect back on what Kobe Bryant, what he means to me and his impact on my life. I'm sure everybody else has their own story, their own way to process this grief and to reflect back on what Kobe meant to them. Some of you may resonate with this, some of you may not, and that's okay. I don't expect everybody listening to this podcast to really resonate and feel the way that I feel with his passing. So I'd apologize in advance for crying, but hey, if I cry, I cry. I got nothing. There's nothing wrong with crying, especially when someone who's impacted your life at a certain level passes. It really does make you, have that big, deep breath, sit down and think about your priorities in life. And I think it's hit home even more with me recently, just because, Kobe, the basketball player, the Mamba, right? Mamba mentality and number 8, number 24, the Shaq and Kobe duo, the 5 championship rings, you name all of his accolades. They're amazing. And, I could go through a list of them all, but you've all heard them already, so I'm not going to bore you with the accolades. But what Kobe means to me and what he meant to me, and he'll continue to mean this to me as I move forward in life, is his ability to weather the storm mentally. I think there's no other person in this world or who's ever lived on this planet that has the Mamba mentality like Kobe Bryant and what it means to have the Mamba mentality. That perseverance, that optimism, that work as hard and going to push through and make all the best decisions possible to put himself in a position to win. And that competitive drive, right? That competitor's edge that most people lack in life, not just in a sport, but just in life. There's something to that Mamba mentality that's what Kobe means to me, is watching, I'm from Houston. H-Town represent. I've been living in San Diego for the last 17 years, so I'm becoming more and more a San Diegan than I am a Houstonian. But I remember my roots and I remember my upbringing, and basketball was one of my first loves ever. Anything, it didn't matter what it was. I can remember back to when I was in my early 10, 11, 12 years old, basketball became the sport. And it was my getaway drug. It was my gateway to escaping the shitty ass kind of upbringing. Not from my family, but just in general, the environment that I was in. I wasn't super poor, but I also wasn't, wealthy and rich. And there was a thin line of what I could and couldn't have. And anyways, living that poverty life, it's a struggle. But, turning to the basketball, picking it up, dribbling it up and down the street, walking to the local park, the local elementary school, Leader Elementary. And I think it's now Sheridan Elementary, but walk into that every day during school, during school year, during the summers, playing pickup basketball with my friends and just people from the neighborhood, and having competitions with rivalry neighborhoods and all that kind of good stuff, man. So many good memories there. A lot of stories that could be told about, fights that broken out, people getting crossed up, and there were some brotherhoods and bonds built there on those courts with some of my friends that I'm still friends with today that we don't really connect too often, but we have that still that same bond, that same brotherhood from those streets of playing basketball. And that carried on through my entire teenage years until I left for the military. Every day, my life was consumed by playing basketball, watching basketball, talking basketball. I mean, video games, of course, was inside of there somewhere. But as a young white Hispanic kid in a predominantly, you know, black neighborhood, which I don't see color, I only see people. And I'm proud to say that majority of my closest friends growing up were African American, and because I don't see a color, I just see people. And but that's a whole nother topic. Let's not stray away from the topic at hand, which is what Kobe means to me. And so that competitive edge, you know, watching Kobe go day in, night out on the show, on the TV playing ball, and his perseverance and that competitive drive, and that, you know, withstanding all the media hits, and he doesn't pass, he's selfish, the whole rape scandal, you know, all those things. His ability to continue to perform at a high level and compete and win championships and do it with a teammate, another Hall of Famer in Shaquille O'Neal, or trying to build it and do it himself, and staying with one organization his entire career outside of when he was drafted from the Charlotte Hornets. I mean, that's amazing. And that's the commitment and the mentality that has inspired me in my life. It's what's driven me to stay the course on my decisions. And when it comes from the military, doing almost 10 years in the military, it wasn't just because it was the most convenient thing to do. There were a lot of things that I loved about it. And when I was in the military, I did the best I could. There's obviously my peers who, you know, get to judge my effectiveness and give me kudos and accolades, but those accolades that I received, it's all because I wanted to be the best at whatever I did. And when I joined the military and I became United States sailor, everywhere I went, when it started in boot camp right away, the competitive edge to be the best person in boot camp and take on roles and responsibilities led to all the roles and responsibilities I had to every ship and command that I served on. And there's so many people out there that are my friends and colleagues that can attest to my willingness and my work ethic and my commitment to finishing the job and trying to do things the right way the first time without rework. You know, there's a lot of other small tangibles underneath the commitment part. But it was really the competitive side, the competitive nature inside of me to be the best. I wanted to be the best. And by being the best, there's so much that comes with it. And it's the accolades, it's the recognition, it's the, hey, people reach out to me to get shit done because that's what I wanted to be known for. Oh, by the way, the byproduct of that is success, career-wise, financial-wise, you know, getting those pay grades and testing high and getting the evaluations I needed to move up in the ranks as fast as I did. I did that all because of the inspiration of what Kobe put and laid out, because I watched, you know, he got drafted in 96, 97. That puts me in middle school. So from middle school to high school, I got to watch about 6 years because I didn't enlist until 2002. Just the way he approached the game and the way that he just came out. And then beyond that, while I served, I continued to watch him and the Rockets go at it year after year, playoff round after playoff round, and Lakers just smoking us and handing the Houston Rockets some L's, man. Those were some nights that I cried too, just the disappointment that we couldn't have someone like a Kobe on our team. And then when we got Tracy McGrady, I was like, yes, because he is such the most compared person to a Kobe Bryant. And I was like, thank you. You know, I despised Kobe because he was a Laker and he was a rivalry team on the West Coast. But I admired him so much because of what he brings to the table as a person. And that's really where my fandom and my love for Kobe came from. And everybody here has that same type of love and their story and what Kobe means to them. And so carrying that into life, carrying that into everything that I do, it's a part of me. So it's hit me pretty hard. Sorry. Try to gather my breath here. So just talking about it really, when it hopefully helps me grieve a little bit better. Because that's his impact on me and my life. It's just a small part of what I've gone on to do since I've got out of the military. But it's always been the driving force of what I do, how I do things. Whew. Yeah, love it. 2 minutes of silence. I love it. Oh, sorry about that, guys. Bear with me. I'll bring us back. I'll bring us back. Just got to work through this. Whew. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hearing a grown man cry. But, you know, just like in life, I could care less. You know, love you, Mom. Love you, Pops. Love everybody who listens to this. It does mean a lot to me, but... processing this grief, it's been tough the last couple days. But the whole thought of the podcast and the thought of what I'm putting out now is the whole inspiration behind this episode. And doesn't matter how successful you get, doesn't matter how rich you are, doesn't matter how popular you are. And I aspire to be like Kobe, to make an impact in people's lives like he did. And I think I have, and I hope I have, and I will continue to do what I do to inspire my friends, my family, people I run into, and build that legacy that he's built. But this episode is to reflect what Kobe's meant to me, but also to point out that life is precious. You can't, you know, Jay Williams said it perfectly on TV the day it happened and talked about how we have to reflect on how we live our lives and the importance of keeping those relationships, you know, as close as you can. They don't need to be perfect, but they need to be in line. So there's no regrets. And I know as much as Kobe and all the other people that have perished on that plane, for the most part, I would like to say that they didn't have any regrets in the connection and bonds they had with those their people, their friends, and their family. So, you know, living, that's the happy life, having no regrets. So I want to inspire people who listen to this podcast to take a time and a moment to really sit back and think that no day is promised to anyone, right? Not even after I record this. You know, whether it's karma or jinxing it, whatever you want to call it, I could perish right after I record and upload this episode. It could happen, and people will have to live with it and process it the way that they do. I would just hope that I would have left this earth knowing that all the relationships that I've created were always on good standings and good terms and good communications, that at any given time anyone can reach out to me. No matter what it is they're going through, whether it's relationship, whether it's money, finances, whether it's career, business, whether it's just stupid drama and they need somebody to kind of realign their thought process. I've always wanted to make sure that I've never placed judgment on anyone and what they're doing in life, and only encourage and be there to support them on their journeys. So, you know, it's tough because a lot of the stuff that he has done in his NBA career has inspired me to go on and build my career and what I've done. But to wrap this up and kind of bring it to the main reason, what Kobe means to me in his later years as a career and as a father, the heartbreak that I feel for that those dying moments. It's unbearable. And that's what I feel the most, is just imagining him holding on to his daughter in those final moments. Not being able, you know, not being able to predict the outcome and having no control over what happens. That's my biggest fear in life, is not having control and having to, and knowing my kids won't have a life, like a long life to live. So bringing it back to that, you know, as him as a father, it really, that's impacted me the most, because now I'm a dad. I got two little boys, and man, that's just a rough beat, a rough rap, a bad beat, horrible tragedy. I know people die every day. I know we've got reports of military members passing, and I send my condolences to everybody that passes every single day, whatever the circumstances may be. But I don't know them. I only know who I know, which is my close friends and family and media people that I've followed and that have just, they are in our lives. So it's just, that's why we're talking so much about it, and why he had so much impact, because he wasn't just a person. He had a platform, and he showed us the way. He gave us the blueprint on how to have the Mamba mentality in anything that we do. You don't need to be a superstar athlete to be successful. You don't need to be, you know, a basketball player to run a six-figure business, or to be, you know, win Father of the Year award type things. You know, be there, be present, don't make excuses, don't be lazy, all these things. Those are the attributes that he portrayed, and that's what I saw day in and day out on TV, whether it was the media coverage, whether it was YouTube, where he was putting out videos and you know, his career after the basketball, on how to be a father, especially to the girls that he had, because he had all girls. It didn't matter. He didn't care. He was happy to be a girl dad. And I'd be a happy girl dad as well too. I mean, we all have our preferences, and we all have our wishes and wants. It doesn't mean we're horrible people, but that was the hand he was dealt with his daughters, and he embraced it. And he took that Mamba mentality and became one of the best girl dads in the public eye that most people have seen in ever. I mean, I don't think I've really ever seen a celebrity superstar athlete as big as Kobe Bryant with daughters take on that role and challenge, because like he has. And, you know, to sit back and reflect and be as good of a dad and parent as he has to my boys, it doesn't matter if that they're boys. I just need to be there for them. I need to educate them. I need to give them the best opportunity to succeed before it even happens. I need to give them the things that, some of the things that I wasn't granted or given, due to the lack of education and knowing what to do from my parents, which is not a knock on them, because it's part of the epidemic in the world today, where generations aren't taught wealth building strategies, wealth building education. And so that's no fault to my parents. My parents' parents weren't taught how to build wealth. And so I can't fault them for not having the right tools to give me. But I'm the one that's taking it upon myself to invoke that Mamba mentality and do it. I got to be the one that goes out there and does it for everybody. I don't care who you are, what kind of impact you've had in my life. You know, you can hang on to the coattails and ride it with me and do it together, or you can watch me shine and ride it by myself and still see some of the fruits of that labor in the future. Because you know who you are out there. You know the closest people to me. You know my vision, and it's family, and it's friends, and it's spending time with my loved ones as often as I can. And that's, you know, that's my aspiration in life. It's my goal in life. It's, you know, oh, but you want to make so much money, Matt. You always talk about making $20,000 a month and building a real estate empire and building an agency and doing this. And what's the best way to make more money, and taking risk here at the real estate or at the stock market, and taking risk buying real estate, all this other stuff? I go, yeah, because I know what's going to allow me to have the freedom to spend with my friends and family with no worries in the world. And it's the access to money. Being able to say, hey, I want to go see my brother-in-law. Hey, I want to go see my mom. I want to go, you know what? I want to just take a trip and not have to worry. That's what money does. Money allows me to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go and spend a week with my bro in Houston. And I'm going to take my family with me. We're going to have a mini vacation. And money allows me to do that. Right? It's not because I wanted to flash and floss and buy the next Bentley and all this other stuff, which some of those things will be fun to have. It's so I can spend more time with my family, my loved ones, and create memories, long-lasting memories. And that's what Kobe was about. And that mentality of just doing the best he could every single day with his kids, with his business, with his wife. He was all about that to the max, Mamba mentality. So, you know, him having to pass the way he did is tragic in itself, but him having to do it holding one of his daughters is just horrible. And I hope my fate one day isn't the same, because man, that sucks. And so anyways, thanks for listening. It's been about 22 minutes of me just crying and that's okay. But that's what Kobe means to me. His mama mentality, and it just sucks that he had to pass the way he did with his child, and that's where it hurts even more. To live in a world without Kobe Bryant it's rough. It's hard to think. It's hard to contemplate. It's hard to process. And I hope everybody who has been impacted by his passing has their way of expressing their loss, whether it's silence, going off the grid for a couple days or weeks or however long it takes, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a vlog, whether it's a blog where you want to write it out, whether it's posting inspirational quotes and images of Kobe trying to reflect and celebrate, you know, what he did do and accomplish while he was here on Earth. I mean, grief, how you have to. I feel you. If 23 minutes of me crying and expressing my love for Kobe doesn't give you the inspiration to grieve the way you need to grieve, I don't know what to tell you. Just know that if you've made it this far in the podcast, one, man, you're a soldier. I love you. I really do. leave a comment, post, share it, and let me know how far you got. And I'd love to reach out and thank you personally. Because it's not like I have 1,000 followers on here or anything. It's just the few people that listen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to challenge, and I want to inspire everyone who's made it this far, 24 minutes in, to find the one person or the two people or however many you have on your list of people that you're just not seeing eye to eye with for whatever reason. They've wronged you. They've taken money from you. They've stolen from you. They cheated on you. They've lied to you. Whatever it may be, you know, take that list. Really really break down the severity of what they did. And really, 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 really think about, is it worth not having them in your life tomorrow? If they were to pass, is it not worth having them in your life? Like if you could snap your finger to your list and like Thanos and dust everybody on that list right now, do you really want that? Do you really want to never, ever talk to those people ever again and never have interactions with them ever again? And not out of spite, not out of anger, not out of jealousy or whatever it may be, you know, because they wronged you. You're absolutely allowed to have the feelings you have. But I implore that you find a way to make it right. Find a way to find common ground, compromise, get on a better communicating level of how to communicate with them. And just realize, because I'm not perfect with everybody. I have my relationships with my brother, my sister, my mom, my aunts, you know, people, my friends. It's each person is a different line and a different way I communicate. And I've learned there are certain things I can say around certain people that I can't say around others. And it's vice versa for every person that I talk with. And I learn to hold my tongue, and I learn to listen and only interject and never judge and never point out gossip and all that other nonsense that's just so negative in the world. And that's what's negative in your relationship with that person. So I challenge you. I want to hopefully inspire you to go out there, write that list, work your way through that list, because if you can't imagine living in a world with those people because they're gone, then you need to reach out. And even if they don't reach out back, and even if they don't see eye to eye with you, even if they still hold malicious intent and they can't get past it, guess what? You have every right to, you have the responsibility to respond the way you respond. You can't hold them accountable for how angry they are and how they respond, but you know, you can live your life knowing you reached out, you're trying to make things better, and you can act and respond the way you, that's the only thing you can control, is how you respond to their negativity, to their pessimistic, to their condescending nature, to their insults. Respond in kind. You have the responsibility. You have the control on how you respond back. And from my experience, responding in kind always tames the bear and hopefully opens up a line of communication to be civil adults, because that's what we are. We're adults. And it shouldn't be that hard to look past differences, not to forget, and even not to forgive, but at least to move forward. Lay a new path and a new foundation for a new relationship. And some of you listening to this may need to do that. May need to just buck up, talk to the person, and just tell them that I can't live in this world without you. Knowing if you were gone tomorrow would piss me off and make me really upset. So from this day forward, we need to start on a clean slate. We need to figure out how we can coexist, how we can be in each other's lives from here on out, and try not to forget, not to forgive, but to make sure we can be better at as people to each other moving forward. Can we do that? Can we do that? And hopefully this tragedy of Kobe and everyone's, you know, seeing this happening and seeing that this is so sad, because it doesn't matter your wealth level, doesn't matter how much money you make. We all, you know, and there's people dying every day. And you know, to those people and to people that haven't lost anyone yet, hopefully, you know, that never happens. Hopefully you can feel that your regret of being able to say, I love you, I miss you, I'm glad to have you in my life and have the memories that I have. Because when they're gone, they're gone. You can't get them back. So, ah, oh, man. All right. 30 minutes. I did it. Got through it. I've got a little snuffle here. I'm in Houston, Texas. I'm making a mess with my water. I love your faces. I'm going to end the podcast on that. Mamba mentality, Kobe, you'll be missed. So go out there, do what I say, don't do what I say, you know, but, just know, if you can't live without someone tomorrow, then you should probably reach out to them and let them know that. So that way you guys can try to start the first step in the process of repairing that relationship. I love your faces. Thanks for listening to the Matty Lowe Show, Episode 3, What Kobe Means to Me. Peace.